It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Welcome to our Bible study segment, and we've got Beth Seifert here with today's Bible lesson in 1 Samuel. So open your Bibles there if you have them, and remember, all of these segments are recorded and saved, archived in our Bible studies archives. You can download the study guides that go with each one of these and have your own Bible study with your ladies around your own kitchen table, and we just welcome Beth Seifert. Thanks for joining us, Beth.
Hey there, Amy. Well, yesterday we met Nabal, and today we're going to get a closer look at Nabal's wife, Abigail. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 1 Samuel chapter 25, verses 14 through 19. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, "Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to greet our master, and he railed at them. Yet the men were very good to us, and we suffered no harm, and we did not miss anything when we were in the fields, as long as we went with them. They were a wall to us both night and by day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know this, and consider what you should do, for harm is determined against our master and against all this house. And he is such a worthless man that one cannot speak to him." Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 skins of wine and 5 sheep already prepared and 5 seahs of parched grain and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on donkeys. And she said to her young men, "Go on before me. Behold, I come after you." But she did not tell her husband Nabal. Now, a while ago, I did a study on Abigail, and there were several things that struck me that stick with me. Abigail was approachable by her servants. She could have been nasty and angry about her foolish husband, and she could have taken that out on her servants, but that wasn't in her character. She was a discerning woman, remember, from yesterday, and she sought God. And she didn't become a bitter, nagging wife, even with the husband she had. But she grew to be a godly and wise wife. When there was a problem, the servants knew they could come to her for help. This whole situation with David and Nabal was a big problem, and the servants knew it, even though Nabal appears not to have realized the danger he put his whole household in. The servants come to their master's wife and tell her about what happened. They know that the men were from David, and they remember how good the men were to them when they were in the same fields together. The servants sing the praises of David's men, defending them against the ridiculous accusations that Nabal had made against David and his men, and the servants are anxious to fix the mistreatment of David and his men by their master. They even call their master worthless, some translations have wicked, in Abigail's presence. This again could be very dangerous for their health and well-being. Abigail could become angry at this. After all, Nabal was their master and her husband. But she doesn't even rebuke the servants for their words, most likely because those words were simply a true statement of the fact of the character of Nabal. Remember yesterday when we met Nabal and he was described as harsh and badly behaved? It wasn't a secret that this guy was, well, wicked and worthless. That's probably not the first time that they've come to Abigail to bail their household out of a scrape that he's gotten them into. That's pure conjecture on my part. We don't have any biblical evidence to support that. It just seems to me that the fact that they immediately appeal to Abigail and the unguarded way that they talk to her suggests that they have come to her before, perhaps even many times, in similar situations in order for them to have gained that level of intimacy and comfort and familiarity with Abigail. And the servants trust Abigail. They trust her with their very lives. They come to her with this problem, trusting that she will know what needs to be done in order to save their household. It's a lot of faith and a lot of confidence to put into one woman, but they do this almost unconsciously. They've seen her act in their household in everyday matters and in extraordinary matters, and they know she's intelligent and capable. Verse 18 is such a descriptor of Abigail's character. She lost no time. She moved. She didn't stand around and conjecture and debate what needed to be done or if she should act or what her husband would think. She jumped into action to save her household. She took a bunch of food and drink, loaded them onto the donkeys, and got ready to hit the road to bring these things to David and his men. Abigail does all of this without telling Nabal. Now, this tells me more about Nabal. First, Nabal is unaware of all the work that she is going to. He isn't paying attention to his wife or to what she's doing. Secondly, Nabal wasn't involved with the daily dealings of his household. Abigail got together a huge amount of food and donkeys and got them loaded up, and he didn't notice. Who knows what he's occupied with while she gathers this all up and heads toward David, but whatever it is, he's completely unaware of her actions. Abigail also was a good housekeeper. She had plenty of food on hand to bring to David, and this was a feast time, and she still had all this food that she could bring that wouldn't be missed by her husband and the other people celebrating. And the food she brings was a feast fit for a king. She didn't bring them day-old bread and leftovers. She brought a party on donkey back to care for these men. You'd think Nabal would notice the missing food. But he doesn't notice his wife is missing. He never looks for her. And he doesn't seem to notice the food is missing either, so he had plenty of food still to eat. Abigail's an amazing woman. When this problem arises, she doesn't hesitate. She knows what is the right thing to do, to give food to David and his men, and she knows her husband has sinned in the manner in which he refused the food. He lied and acted in a deceitful manner in order to avoid sharing with David and his men, and his wickedness is about to destroy her household. Abigail isn't afraid to get her hands dirty either. She's going to accompany this gift to David too. She sees the sin of her husband, and she is ready to take action to undo the damage by doing what her husband should have done. Her actions won't remove his sin, but they will help her household and help her to correct the situation that Nabal has gotten her into. Do you have a picture of what Abigail was like? She was the wife of a wealthy man. She ran a busy household, and she ran it well. She looked well to the ways of her home, making sure that not only were the physical needs of herself, her husband, and their servants provided for, but she was also a servant leader in her home. Her servants knew that they could come to her with tough issues, and she would respond with wisdom, with gentleness, and with thoughtful action. Her servants respected her, and it shows. Her husband, too, he trusted her. He left the dealings of their home to her, not to a foreman, and he certainly didn't do it himself. I imagine he was a hard taskmaster, difficult to please, yet she thrives in this role that she's placed in. She's also a wife of character. She still showed honor to her husband in her daily dealings, even as her husband treated people in such condescending and, well, bullying ways. We'll see more of that in the next couple of days as we see how she comes back to Nabal to deal with him. But she followed God instead of seeking her own will. She knew that marriage wasn't about her, but about a covenant relationship with her spouse and with God. She dealt with the consequences that her husband's actions brought onto her household. We still see the need for Abigails in our world today. We need women of character who do not hesitate to act when it is within their power to act. There are times when someone else's sin forces us into action in order to avert a catastrophe. There are other times, however, when we need to allow the catastrophe to fall on the person who sinned in order for them to realize the magnitude of their error. Sometimes people need to have no further left to fall before they'll look up. It can be hard to know the difference. Where does the line between enabling an abuser and showing love fall? I don't claim to have a how-to book on how to recognize the differences in each of those situations, but we have something better than a how-to book. We have the Holy Spirit in our lives, guiding and directing our paths in line with the will of the Father. The only way that we can be sensitive to that leading is to spend time with your Father in prayer and in reading His Word. He will give you the discernment you need in each and every situation and let you know what you need to do or not to do in order to do His will. Abigail knew what to do, and she acted immediately. If she didn't know God, she would be hampered by indecision. She would have been standing there trying to figure out what was the right thing to do. Should she go to David? Should she not? What should she do? But she knew what the right thing was to do, that at that moment what was necessary was for her to protect the innocent lives of her family and her servants and her household. And that's what she took care of. My question for us today is this. Ladies, are you an Abigail? Are you a woman who looks well to the way of your home? Who blesses her husband and shows him respect, even when he hasn't earned it and doesn't deserve it? Are you a woman who understands that marriage isn't about making yourself happy, but making you holy? Are you a woman who understands that marriage isn't about you at all? That the world isn't about you? That it's all about God? Is that evident in the way you live your life? Are you living like Nabal to please yourself? Demanding proof when people come to you with the Bible? Would come to you with concerns, demanding proof of why they think that they are right or why they think that the Bible is true? Or are you living like Abigail, ready and willing to sacrifice to honor your king?
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.